Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. I'm up here in Michigan. Promised you I'd make it here. I did. Flew in on a little plane last night. My friend and her mom picked me up at the airport. We drove 30 minutes, and now we're in a cute, secluded, beautiful stretch of beach with all these houses facing the lakefront. Just like miles of like the most beautiful houses that are different bright colors with cool stonework and little, you know, water fountains in the front, perfectly crisp green yards. Like, there is no problems up here. You forget anything happens. Like, when you're up here, I understand why people vacation. In the times that I have vacation, you truly, I forget about the news. I haven't checked my phone. Like, nothing's going to get us up here. If the country were ups into civil war, it would take them a while. It would take a minute to get up here. So we're safe. Up in the very tip of the mitten, which is my least favorite part of a mitten, is like the tip, because it's like cottony and it just like when people bite their mittens to take them off, like if you had some like wool mittens and you bit the tip to like pull them off your fingers, it's like nails on a chalkboard to me, picturing you doing that. And if anyone else has the same phobias as me, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So I'm in that part of the glove that you bite if you're a psychopath to take them off. And there's a conversation with my friend Hala that I had on the street. We were walking down the street in front of all these beautiful houses. I have my microphone out, which I don't have. I do have two mics, but it was too much equipment to bring on our walk because we needed to get out to broadcast. So I use it as like I talk and then I put the microphone in her face. She talks. So if the audio is a little wonky, I do apologize for that. We eventually sit down and have a nice conversation, and it's meandering. I'm just going to prepare you. It's two friends kind of just talking in circles, but we stumble upon some good stuff. So that'll be the second half of the show. I'm just up in one of the bedrooms after a long day of really doing nothing. I woke up, had breakfast on the front porch, alone, meditated in bed, had some breakfast. Then what did I do? I feel like we went to the store. Yeah, no, we went to go get sandwiches, then coffee, then we went to the store. By the way, this place in town that's selling sandwiches, cash only. Because I wanted to buy the same, they ordered sandwiches, we went to pick them up, and I was like, I'll pay for them. Because Hala, my friend's like, Mom, I need money. It's like we're teenagers again. And I go, I'll get them. She's like, I think they only take cash. And I'm like, not in this climate. Anyone who's cash only, give me a break. Switch over. Figure out a way to make it work. And we get there, and of course they're cash only. And I go, you know, it's a kid that's working the little to-go stand out in the parking lot. And I go, are you serious? Cash only? He goes, we've just always done it that way. And it's like, oh, okay. Oh, you've always just done it that way. Okay. Oh, because I've always just not worn a mask inside too. So is that the way I should live my life now? I've just always like done it that way. It's like everyone's doing things differently. Adjust, right? I don't know why I need to get an attitude with the kid. I made some mention about like, oh, you don't have to claim it. You can hide money in your taxes if you do it cash only. I made some snide remark that, I mean, I don't know what I was hoping, that maybe his dad owns the place and he'll tell his dad and his dad will just be like, whoa, those fucking liberals and they're wanting to use Venmo or, you know, the card app. What is that? The fucking Square app? Yeah, I don't know why I said it to this kid. He didn't need it. I didn't get an attitude, really, but I know some of you are going to be like, Nikki, all we do. I've been getting a lot of DMs that all I do is complain on here. You try to just do a solo podcast, and I don't mean that as a threat. Like, it's, I'm going to try to stay more positive. And then there's some of you that are writing me, and you're like, you're perfect as you are. Guess what? It doesn't matter. Who cares? We're all just in this together. There's no agenda here. There's no right way to do this. I'm talking into a microphone in a cabin in the Upper Peninsula. I have no news to report. I have comedy to share, hopefully, but that's not ever guaranteed. I have some introspection, maybe, and I have things to bitch about. Yeah, does Nikki need a husband? Probably. That's what me and my friend get into later on. So many of my motives, I think, are shaped around finding a person, even though I'm not really that open to it when I think about it. I did pull up on Zillow what it would cost for me to buy a place up here because I honestly want I just want a place up here to escape to. I want to be a part of this community where I feel safe. And I really was looking to maybe I would meet a husband up here of someone who is inheriting a house that's already gigantic and it's already furnished. Like, I don't have to go in and furnish it and like design stuff and like pick out sconces and bullshit like that. But seriously, why I would just like to expedite it and not buy it myself is because I don't want to have to like make decisions. I cannot make decisions, as I told you guys with the car issue. So the places aren't, I thought they were like $14 million. I mean, these places look like castles to me. It looks like Hyannis Port. It looks like the Kennedys would vacation up here. That's how nice it is. I mean, we get into it and describe it for you in detail on the back end of this podcast, but I'm looking at the listings on Zillow and I mean, it's not crazy. It could be done. I just need to work a little bit harder and I could, oh, these places aren't winterized. What happens up here in the winter? It just must be like a free for all, man. No one's up here. That's what I just keep picturing is how sad this place is in the winter. I don't know why I always have to think of the saddest thing. Like I was looking at this like shrubbery. So there's a fountain in the neighbor's front yard and it's like the shape of a dog and it's peeing into, it's like a, it looks like a, you know, Edward Scissorhands type animal made out of a bush. And it's a dog lifting its leg. And from underneath the dog is a spigot, which sounds like a racial slur, but it isn't. There's a spigot that is pouring water into a little basin, like a well. And it looks like the dog's peeing. It's cute. But all I could think about when I saw that this morning is that is, like, there's snow around that at some point in the year. And that dog is so lonely. And it's just like this decorative dog on the front yard and no one's appreciating it. And it just has to be stand there. And it's not real, Nikki. I don't even think it's real shrubbery. I think it's just like a, made to look like it's real. But I was just thinking about how sad that dog is. I often think about dogs being sad. And now they're dogs that aren't even real dogs. Like the other night I was watching When Harry Met Sally and there was a dog barking and Luigi was my dog was sitting on my lap and like heard the dog and got excited. And I literally said to Luigi, don't worry, it's dead. That dog is dead now, wherever it is, because it definitely is. That movie was made over 25 years ago. I mean, that dog is long gone, as are its puppies at this point. Let's just be crystal clear on that. Later on in the day, I made Hala go walk with me to do a Taylor Swift recreation of her folklore art for the album. She stood in a bunch of trees and she had like a trench coat. And so we just got back from doing that. She took pictures of me in the woods. I really, again, I don't want to post pictures of myself anymore online. I think I might be over it. I don't know what to do because there's nothing else you can do. I just don't, it feels so self-serving. I was looking at my Instagram last night and I know that maybe I'm just overthinking it. How can you just like, there's just countless pictures of girls posing, looking cute. And it's going on too long. When are we going to tire of just standing and looking cute and being like, look at how great my life is. It's just endless. It's all it is. It's just, there are people that don't have Instagram and aren't flooded with these images of other people just like always looking cute. I was looking cute earlier on the porch before we went to this photo shoot. Like the sun was perfect. I'm wearing this adorable robe. I had put on a little makeup so we could do this photo shoot. And by little makeup, I just mean like BB cream, which if you don't know what that is, it's like a serum and it's supposed to be like good for your skin, but it's fully pigmented. So it covers up all your flaws and girls can convince themselves they're wearing serums or BB creams, but we know it's foundation. So I had on that and I looked so cute, but I couldn't ask someone to take my picture. It was too humiliating. Now, if I was with Andrew or Anya or one of my like other friends that are in the business, it would make sense. But I can't ask my friend Hala and have her family witness me be like, can you get a cute picture of me? Because I have on my white sneakers and this adorable robe and the lighting's good. Like, it's just too humiliating. So I let the moment pass. And instead, I made my friend go out in the woods and do it alone. And we just have to tell our family about it later and confess. Next up on the podcast is me and my friend talking about dissecting what it's like being down here. And I hope you enjoy it. But like I said, might be a little rambly, might be a little friend-on-friend action. Bear with me. I'm on vacation. I'm still putting out a podcast. So I hope you enjoy it, though. I think there's some good, funny nuggets. I'm going to go. I'm going to nap I don't know what my plan is for the rest of the day. That's the greatest thing about being on vacation is there's no plans, but it's also the worst thing because I need structure sometimes. I just want the store structure to come back. It was a very great, a great clothing place for men to shop. In the mid-2000s structure, it was the Express for men. I mean, it was owned by Express, I believe. That's what I meant by when I said I need structure. There's no TV up here either. And you feel guilty just peeling off and like watching something on your phone. Not that I would even do that anyway, because there's no more love on the spectrum. Thus, there's nothing more for me to watch on TV. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. I'll have more to report, but stay tuned for a conversation with my friend Hala as we're walking down her neighborhood way and just talking about everything around us. And I think throughout the week, if we have more conversations together, they're going to get more and more weird and wild and have more fun stories. Enjoy it. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I don't know if it's starting right now or this is the second half. I just don't know yet. Sometimes I tape these segments and I don't know where I'm going to put them. But I am walking down the block in Michigan in the Upper Peninsula in a quiet, like very rich. I don't know how else to say it. It's very rich up here. How do you describe it? Quaint, beautiful, preppy, like without being like rude to rich people. How do I talk about this town without offending rich people by saying it's just a bunch of rich white people?
People need to know what they are. That's what it is. That's what it is.
I'm obviously being facetious when I say I'm going to offend rich white people, but it truly does feel like I'm trying to find another way to describe it. And I keep saying waspy, even though I don't know what that means, because I grew up not knowing what that meant. I just thought it was like, I hate to make an insect joke here, but I tended to think of wasps as only one thing until later on, and it's white Anglo-Saxon saxophonist, saxophonist and Protestant.
Yeah. I thought it was racist or like a not well I thought it was like a Jewish term.
I did too. I thought it had something like anti-Semitic about it, but it's not, right? White Anglo-Saxon is not Jewish, but
this place is.
Are we so ignorant? That's what I'm not even kidding you. As soon as I said I don't know what waspy is, it felt the same way as like I didn't grow up knowing any bad stereotypes about Jewish people. Like I didn't know, I knew that the Holocaust happened. I've talked about this on my podcast before. I was very ignorant. In St. Louis, we didn't grow up around a lot of Jewish people. So we didn't learn to like, we weren't talking shit about them. I didn't know any, like, I didn't know there was so much anti-Semitism. I learned.
No, in this place, I'd call it bougie. Like this is, I'd call it bougie. Like,
but bougie to me, I never even knew that word either. I think it's because we lived in it.
I'm saying like as an adult, that's what I would call this place. As a kid, it meant nothing to me because like I grew up coming here. I knew it was whatever the word is that I call it when I was a kid, but I didn't feel like I fit in then. I don't feel like I fit in now.
Wait, you didn't feel like you fit in here as a kid? By the way, we're walking by a Mercedes, like, what is that kind of car? I don't even know. But that's the kind of car I want. And it's,
no, I mean, you wanted that Audi we saw this morning. Also,
yeah, an Audi wagon.
I'll introduce myself. Wait, did you introduce me?
No, not yet. But that's a really good point. I'm walking down the street with my friend Hala, who I assume I'm going to set up in the first part of this so everyone knows what we're getting into here. No. But you're right. I didn't set you up. This is Hala. She's my friend who I'm visiting in Michigan. I came here, I think, two or three summers in a row from ninth grade until 11th grade. And it's just a beautiful part of Michigan. It is like, just feels like the Truman Show in terms of perfection. Yeah. There's nothing out of place. We were driving around this morning, and no offense to this town, you guys need a serial killer. Something needs to spice this town up because it is like everyone's leaving their bikes on the lawn. Like they're not going to get stolen. Someone needs to come up here and steal some goddamn bikes. I'm just kidding. Don't really do that. But like something needs to rock this town.
No one locks their bikes up. They're just, like, yeah, bikers are calling car to other bikers. Everyone waves on the sidewalks. Everyone's so friendly. And then there are like cocktail parties at night. It's just, this is like summer.
People get what it is. Yeah. But I feel like everyone around here is in denial of how protected and perfect and I don't know. I feel really, we look weird right now. Not only do I have a microphone and I'm walking down the street interviewing you like an on the beat reporter in the 1950s trying to find out about I can't say the name of the town, the Petoskey, night stabber, which is what I think this town needs. We're not in Petoskey, by the way. What? Oh, but we're walking down the street in this really nice neighborhood where like people are just walking by in Lululemon with their dogs and like everyone looks tan and perfect and like fit and just top of the morning and everyone's just so perfect. And Hal and I are wearing these long robes that are like,
we look great.
We look like we're at a New Mexican spa. Yeah, that's a good idea.
I mean, I have to tell you something. I was taking a nap before this, and I took off my wetsuit bottoms that were underneath my robe, and so now I'm just walking like naked, and like, it's just gonna, the wind's gonna blow. We're gonna have a good story to tell everyone.
You're wearing nothing under your. We're walking around in bathrobes around this community, and they're matching, and they're really multicolored striped bathrobes, and we look like insane. And people don't do things here to draw the eye. No. Everyone's trying to fit in.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, everyone's wearing like light pastels. We have on these bright bathrobes. Anyway.
Well, we went to the dog park before, and you and your husband have tattoos all over your body. And I felt like it made you stand out. And people were kind of like, oh, those tattooed people without their dogs on their leash. Like, you didn't have the dogs on the leashes. Everyone else at the dog park did. I thought that they were looking at you like you're outsiders.
Hence why I never felt like I fit in here growing up or now, because I've... essentially, with or without the tattoos, always been just a tattooed body in this place. Like, everyone looks at me like, oh, what? I'm just the riffraff. I'm the riffraff here, but I like it like that. I wouldn't want to fit in here.
I know. Well, that's what I was saying earlier about coming up here. I like that everything is so perfect. And, like, you'd think I'd hate that because I hate the pressures of society and I hate feeling like I have to look a certain way. Up here, it's so insurmountably impossible to be perfect, like to reach this level of perfection, that I feel comfortable just kind of giving up.
I liked how you equate it to Truman Show. It's so Truman Show.
Yeah.
And yeah, you equate it to giving up.
No, I equate it to like being up here, I just get to... I don't know. It's just, I feel like an outsider and but I don't feel like anyone's paying attention to me. I also feel like hidden.
Yeah.
And it also reminds me of my childhood, and I'm constantly trying to find that again. But I do feel this town has so many secrets. I mean, these people are walking around like, I mean, who goes to a park and looks like they have issues? No one's like out bike riding and like, it's just carrying their depression with them on display, but everyone here, you can tell, doesn't talk about their feelings.
So we were sitting on the porch earlier and these people were walking by, and I said something like, isn't it weird that every human is like grappling with something? Like, everyone who walks by is dealing with something. So then we started trying to guess the neuroses or the like mental illness or secrets everyone had.
Yeah, we were just trying as people. It's a really fun game to play when you just people watch, guess what their most awful dark secret is that they struggle with and they can't sleep at night because of it. And it makes you feel better. And we were just, you know, diagnosing all these people as they walked by, like, oh, she doesn't talk to her son anymore, not because he won't talk to her, but because he's dead. He died and she's still struggling. Like, just really dark shit. He was into drugs. She didn't get him help because she was in denial. I mean, I was projecting a lot onto these people. But then there was this one woman that walked by and we both agreed, like, nope, she's actually perfect. She's like dealing with her shit, but like she doesn't have any issues.
And I don't know what it was about her, but you said that and I was like, you're right. She's perfect. And here's the thing, like, okay, sure, maybe we were projecting, but also we were actually bringing a little humanity to this place that like no one is infallible. All these people look perfect, wear their pastels, Vineyard Vines, go play croquet. We're sitting now at a croquet court.
Like, I mean, I cannot believe we have perched ourselves. We stopped walking, by the way. I'm sorry if the audio was really wonky at the beginning, but we've just sat down on our walk just randomly, just the closest public seating. And I'm not joking you. There is a croquet field right in front of us. I mean, this is the most bougie thing I've... if you were making a scene in a show, you'd be like, really? You're going to place them having a conversation next to a croquet? We get it. We get where they are. But this is truly where we are. And there's nowhere I'd rather be. I mean, it's interesting to be up here, which I want to dissect. I went from living with my parents. I like had an existential crisis last night because I was like, why did I come up to invade a family who is doing just fine as a unit? And I have to be like this fifth wheel of a person, which I don't feel anything but accepted in your family and I always have. But what compelled me to get away from my parents and go live with your parents? And what did it is because I love you and I just know how nurturing spending time with you has been to me and to my soul. And like, I just need more of it. And I just am trying to force myself to do things. It's easy for me to not come up here. It's harder to like go stay with the family and be in their space. I'm like trying to do things that are going to actually be fulfilling on the other side, because when I tend to want to not do something, or like there's some part of me that's scared, just fucking do it. But then I got up here and I'm like, why did I do this? Like, they had to come get me at the airport. I'm making it weird for all of them. I just left a situation where my it's two parents. And now I'm living with the other two parents in my childhood that literally were as close to the authority figures as my mom and dad could get.
Well, okay.
Your mom and dad.
I have a lot of...
Your dad was our principal. I'm in the same house. And Hala, that's your dad, so I don't even know what this means to you. But I'm staying with your parents, and your dad was my principal 6th, 7th, 8th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade.
That's not right. That's not true. But he was...
6th, 7th, 8th, 11th, 12th.
6th, 7th, 8th, 12th. But regardless, he was your principal. But also, don't... Okay, maybe I'm wrong, but I also feel like he was more my dad to you than our principal.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway. Okay. No one cares about that. Here's the thing I want to talk about is you thanked my mom and I so many times for coming to get you at the airport. First of all, it was like not a far drive. We don't care. Everyone, actually, not even about the airport. Who cares? But I couldn't believe how many times you thanked us. Of course, we're going to come get you. It wasn't a big deal. We were happy to do it. And stop. Don't, you're not allowed to talk right now. You... Like, everyone's so glad you're here. My mom is thrilled because she knows how much you love this place and she loves people who love it here. And while, yes, it's waspy and it is what it is, it's beautiful. It's this beautiful lake and, like, the weather is great. And my mom is just so happy to share that with anyone who appreciates it. I'm happy to have you here for, like, the entertainment factor and the friendship and just dissecting every little thing. I'm excited you get to spend time with me and John. And my dad loves you and is also really good about going about his own thing, you know?
Yeah, it couldn't be an easier family.
Yeah, but I think the reason that you came up here, you already hit it, is this was, you kind of grew up here and you've been talking on the pod about how you're like stuck in your teen years, not stuck in your teen years, but you're going back to that a lot. And so I think maybe part of it is cathartic. And I mentioned to you yesterday, I hope this is okay to say, but like the last time you were here was pre-eating disorder. And so
Yeah, that's true. I have no eating. There's nothing about being here that reminds me of having issues with food, except like everything about being up here, all the food things that I remember. If you have an eating disorder and you're listening, you know your life before and after, or maybe you don't. Maybe you always had a food problem because some people are just like honestly born with it. But I didn't have issues with food until I was 18. And before that, there was like, I don't know if you have anything in your life. I think everyone has something before and after, like your whole mindset was changed.
Now it's COVID.
And yes. Oh, yeah. Before, now it's COVID. I mean, it is going to be that for a lot of people. But yeah, it's just, or September 11th, I said it on the podcast yesterday, like big events like that. Like, but you're so right. I do hold on to that. Like, I remember just being obsessed with this cake your grandma used to make. And now this sounds like I was like, had a food obsession, which I probably did. But do you remember that fucking pineapple cake?
Yeah, I knew exactly what you were going to say. Yeah, we called it
Béarnaise cake or something?
We called it Béarnaise cake because.
Béarnaise.
Which. If you try to look it up, don't, because it's not a thing. This was named after, there was a woman named Panay who might, anyway.
Okay, yeah, so, but I just remember being obsessed with cake, and the last time I was, like, craving cake or let myself even enjoy a piece of cake, I can't even fucking remember. So that is a nice feeling to hold on to. But is it, and this is your husband's first time with your family living under one roof, and it was funny because today we just, like, peeled off with, because I went to, Hala and I have been friends since fifth grade, and her husband, John, we went to school with. He dated our friend Taylor in high school. That's how we knew him. And he was just shy and quiet and like hot. And like everyone liked him, but he was just like quiet and just did his own thing. Like he wore a skirt our senior year, which was so sexy. And like, so, I'm sorry, call your husband sexy. It doesn't feel like I'm calling him now sexy, but it was him in high school. He was mysterious and wore a skirt. And we were like, all of us girls were into it. And all the guys were like, you wore a skirt, but it was so cool. And that's who you ended up marrying. But we peeled off today to like talk shit, not talk shit, but like process what's going on around us. And it was like so fun.
Yeah.
To like go and walk and talk about your parents. That's why being an only kid would be hell. And not just your parents. We talked about my parents too. I mean, we just talked about parents.
Yeah. I mean, I can't. Yeah. John.
They just don't understand.
They don't understand. They're not like us.
I'm excited to play that magazine game where you pick up a magazine that they have laying around the house. They're like Time magazines from 1993. That's an issue I pulled out of the thing last night. Guys, a Time magazine, 1993. I'm flipping through it to think of some trivia to ask the group about. I just landed. I just got there. And I'm flipping through, And I'm like, what's some 1993 fucking news headline that I can create some question around? Okay, it was the flood of 93 was on the cover. Do you remember that? I sure do. It was in St. Louis and like we were all affected. It was like the biggest thing ever. And it was maybe just like a blip on your memory of history. But it was a huge flood in St. Louis. So that was the cover. But like I knew they'd get that. Very 93. If you were in St. Louis, you remember. But then in the middle of the issue was a huge headline that said, born gay? And it was just like a gay guy looking like, maybe I was born this way. And it was like in the science part of Time magazine in 1993, it was like leading science news that maybe people are born gay and don't choose it.
Could it be?
Like that is so...
No, that was crazy. When you, like, Nikki found this thing, opened it up, and was like, you guys, you are not... And, like, my dad...
You're not going to believe what we had to... what was news in 1993. But it's true, it was. I mean, I remember David Cross having a great bit about it in maybe on an album from 2000 where he was like, had to explain to people, like, why would you choose to be, like, if it's a harder life, not that it isn't a better life, I mean, but why would you choose something that would make you feel different from everyone else, that would make your dad stop talking to you, all these things, and like, you know, but people believed that, and honestly, they still do. Some people need that Time magazine.
Maybe everyone... in these houses surrounding us. I don't know.
Yeah, how many people are closeted in this community?
I don't know. I also, like, I don't know. Maybe it's not fair for me to talk about everyone, because I don't know.
I was going to say that these people could all be in therapy and all be, like, meditating and walking from, like, their Reiki sessions and doing, like, they could be on LSD, really, like, connecting with their souls. We don't know.
But I also, like, I don't care to know. That's the thing. My mom keeps wanting us to, like, do stuff with other people. But the bottom line is, I also just am here to, like, enjoy the scenery and where I am and, like, do stuff on the water. I don't need to get to know any of these people.
You're not looking to make new friends.
I'm not. Is that rude? Do you think that's rude?
No. I don't think it's rude. I think it's you know who you are. But why? See, I am down to be social if there weren't, like, social distancing things in place. Like, I kind of like meeting new people and talking to them because they might know, like, a single guy that, you know, like, I need to, like, keep my options open, like, and talk to your mom's old friends because they might have, like, rich old fucking children that have a house on the same block, and then I get to marry someone that lives on the same block and they come up here every summer, and, like, I mean, I have a little bit of a fantasy all wound up in this.
Okay, I didn't know. You were going to ask why I don't need to do this? Why I don't need to meet people? You need to meet someone because you need a husband who summers in Michigan. I need to not meet anyone because, like...
You have a husband.
Well, yeah, but... Even if I didn't, I mean, even when I was single and I would come up here, I wouldn't go out of my way because I feel like I'm going to leave this place and then they won't be in my life. So why make the effort? It's like single serving friends, like on Fight Club. Remember Tyler Durden talked about single serving friends?
Yeah, but you could make lifelong friends up here because these people come up here every summer. See, I think now, because I don't know where I'm going to live, whether it's St. Louis or New York or L.A. in the next like couple years, everyone's so willing to move because everyone's lives are in flux that, like, I could meet someone up here and, like, do a long distance thing. Like, I don't know where my life could take me, so I have to be open to all of those. In terms of friendships, like, I mean, if there's some cool chicks that we could talk to and, like, I could, like, that would just, I mean, I don't know who we'd meet up here. We'd be down to, like, really, we have each other.
See, that's what I'm saying. I just, again, I never felt like I fit in up here, and so... I'm realizing the last podcast, I was like, I had no friends before you. I came up here. I had no friends up here. Like, what? I guess maybe I'm shut off to other people.
That's not true. You've had so many friends. But I think a lot of people listening will relate that they don't need a ton of friends. And I am someone that used to need a ton of friends. And now my social life has completely been taken from me. And I feel guilty being okay with it. I have to force myself to be social because I do know that all of my friends are married. I need to, like, get my own family. And that's the fucking sad part about being single is that all of your single friends get their own families. And then your family that you came from, they all get their own families. Right. And so then you're just this, like, fucking Dupree that's couch surfing with all these families. I don't want to be, I thought of it last night. I am so glad you and John don't have kids, because if there were kids in this situation who were like, I always think of my, and I know I shouldn't, I know you guys are going to write me and say, Nikki, don't worry what other people think about you, who cares? And I know you're right. You're absolutely right. But I just picture the way I felt about my dad's single friends who used to come visit and would, like, stay in Michigan with us when we go up for summers, like, and they were single. I didn't think less of them. I thought they were kind of cool and like, wow, they're doing their own thing. But I didn't feel less of them. I actually were like, oh, what? One is like a jazz musician. He has a cool life. They all seemed like happier. Okay. I'm starting to see this differently. I think I'm the cool single lady that comes and crashes and like is free.
Well, also, yeah.
But, and I get to like get texts from guys in like, as soon as I got here last night, I get a text from just one of these randos that texts me once a, you know, every couple of weeks, just being like, how are you? But it's always at 2 a.m. So I had a guy trying to like sext with me last night at 11 o'clock when your whole family was asleep in this house. And I was like, there's no way. First of all, I'm so glad to be in a house full of people with thin walls because now I have an excuse not to be intimate with you. But I don't know that I can have phone sex or FaceTime sex with someone before I have actual that sex with them again, because I did in the past. I used to in my 20s, like I would get wasted and like come home and like FaceTime with people or Skype and like, or G-chat sex with people, guys. Maybe I'm just not as horny, but like, there's no desire. Anytime a guy wants to like do that with me, I just kind of shut it down. But then there was a time I did it maybe 2 years ago and the guy completely was on Ambien and forgot everything we did. And then he, the next day when I was like referenced us having phone sex, he didn't remember literally any of it. And he promised me all these things of like, we're going to go on a trip together. And it was awful. And so maybe I'm scarred.
Can we process the man walking by?
I mean, we are doing a radio interview and I think they all think that like the news has come to town to report on them. Like This American Life is doing a report about how many secrets they're harboring.
Well, there is a man walking by. Did you see him?
No, I was...
That little puppy, that dog weighs like 2 pounds. This man is gigantic. Anyway, whatever.
It's just a big man and a small dog. I mean, what is there to talk about?
I guess I just never... I don't see that in Colorado. We didn't have that in Colorado.
You're like, sorry... Hala, he was born that way. Didn't you read Time magazine in 1993? A plane is overhead. Yeah, so, the guy texting me last night, late at night, was thrilling, but just, I don't know. I don't like when guys get sexual too fast, and then I just feel like they change afterwards. And also, I don't want to be like... It's weird being sexual on FaceTime. It's almost more intimate than just in person, because in person you can kind of like look at their body and like look away and like bury your head in their shoulder. You know, like there's things on FaceTime you're just like staring at each other. It's too much.
You need it to be like the Nest, like his Nest cam, so that he can like stand back from it. You know what I mean? Like
like the ones used for baby sleeping.
Yes, yeah, so you don't have to just be staring at his face. You know, like,
I think I just need someone in person.
Well, I mean, okay, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I just don't think there's any ideal way, but it's just funny to me that used to be appealing. Like, I used to like that stuff, and it clearly some people are still enjoying it. But you used to have like, did you used to send like nudes and stuff like that?
No.
You never sent, like, you were never having phone sex or like had any kind of like FaceTime?
No. It was like...
It was always in person.
Yes.
Or on a drum kit.
Yeah, or that.
Hala had sex on a drum kit once. And we'll leave it there because she'll be back later this week. That's all the podcast you get. I will update you on what took place in... Well, I'm not going to really tell you, but I'll keep talking about all my thoughts around sexting. And you can send me yours as well. Thank you so much for sending all your pictures of your hair. I continue to enjoy it. I am going to be podcasting from Michigan all week long. Let me know if you want me to talk about anything specific. And we'll see you tomorrow. Squirt, squirt.
Croquet.
How dare you.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.